I want to thank our worship team. What beautiful worship they've led us in this morning. I'm so grateful. If you have your Bibles, I hope you have opened to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21. Let me read this traditional Palm Sunday text beginning in verse 6. The disciples went and did as Jesus had asked them to do. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks along the road, while others cut branches. John's Gospel said palm branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." What a picture of joy! It's a parade. It's a homecoming. This was the beginning of that grand festival, Passover. This is big, and this was glorious indeed. Palm Sunday in Jerusalem, joy. The people had waited. They had waited so long for this day. Yes, since Abraham, Father Abraham, they had been waiting for the coming Messiah, that promised king who would make his advent and finally make his way into Jerusalem. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they all spoke of it. And of course, Moses and Joshua as well. King David wrote poems about it. Solomon, words of wisdom. The prophets all. Isaiah, Jeremiah, all of them. Amos, Hosea. They all looked toward the coming Messiah. As we've read Scripture, we know that the crowds were building in Nazareth. During those last months, the crowds around the Galilee area were huge. And Jesus had been to Jerusalem, and now he has come again. And this week, the city is filled for Passover week. But this Messiah, King Jesus, didn't quite appear like most thought. They were looking for a political, an economic, a military king Messiah. Kings rode on horses. This king rode on a donkey. Kings were adorned in royal apparel. This king wore clothes of a humble peasant. Kings were accompanied by an entourage of fighting men. This king rode alone, followed by the ragtag disciples. Kings had many servants. King Jesus served others. Kings ruled over people. This king ministered to the people. Kings feasted on sumptuous foods prepared for them. King Jesus multiplied fish and loaves and gave to feed others. Kings wore crowns of gold and precious gems. This king would soon wear a crown of thorns. Kings made loud proclamations and the people sat in silence. King Jesus would stand silent and the crowds would yell, "Crucify him." Kings were protected at all costs. King Jesus King Jesus would soon give his life, paying the cost of all sin. Strange indeed. But still, the crowds, though they didn't understand it, verse 9, the crowds went ahead and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of God! Hosanna in the highest heaven! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Hosanna means save, or to save. Savior, they said, the one who saves, the Son of David. Hosanna. The people expected a king, and they hailed Jesus as their king. They expected the kingdom of David to be reestablished. He could do it. But that's not what they got. It's what they wanted, but it's not what they needed. Jesus had not come to be king of the land. Jesus had come to be king of their heart. Here's the big truth. God's plans are often so different than ours. God's plans are different than yours and mine. I had great plans for the Lenten season at First Baptist Lufkin. We began the plan on Ash Wednesday here in the sanctuary, a meaningful worship time, ashes reminding us of repentance, our sin, and our mortality. Walker preached the first Sunday of Lent about God's love. He used the text of the prodigal son. From Walker's sermon, I developed a series from the prodigal to the resurrection. This Sunday, Palm Sunday, the kids would be here. This would lead to Holy Week, our Maundy Thursday meal, Lord's Supper, Good Friday worship. Saturday, children were to be all together hunting eggs and transforming the cross with live flowers. That was my plan. Coronavirus was not in my plan. Did God cause it? I don't believe so. Your theology may differ. Did God simply allow this virus? Again, it's a theological question for you to wrestle with. Is God using COVID-19 to accomplish something? Again, it's a question of theology. I end this day, or begin this week, with more questions than answers. But as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, I know this about God's plan. God longs for us to be people of hope. God grants to us peace in the midst of the storm, and even gives us joy. Joy? I'm talking about happiness. I'm not talking about happiness. Joy. Now, I know as I look around me, and as I look around the world, I see pain and sorrow, chaos and confusion. I've dealt with despair in my heart this week and exhaustion. I see death and tears. Tears in the midst of joy. When Luke told this story of the triumphant entry of Jesus, Luke 19:41, Luke's gospel, as Jesus came into Jerusalem, he saw the city, he saw the people, and he wept tears. I submit, as Jesus looks at our world today, he weeps. COVID-19, as of 10 o'clock this morning, 66,546 deaths in our world. Tears. Psalm 30, I keep clinging to it and reading it. Weeping may last for the night. It does. But joy comes in the morning. Our world, it's still night. Though the clock goes off and the alarm sounds and I get up and the sun is out, it's still night. But as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I know that morning will come. I don't know when. And my prayer is, oh, morning, come quickly. It was just over 100 days ago, the third week of Advent, that I read this text, Luke 2. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were so afraid. But the angel said to the shepherds, "Don't be afraid, because I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah. He is the Lord." Don't be afraid. I bring good news to you. A Savior, Messiah, joy. Someone wrote, "This joy is not situational. It does not waver at any crisis life brings. It does not shake at each disaster. But this joy holds me steady in the midst of it all. This joy reminds me that He holds me. Yes, He's got the whole world in His hand. He's got you and me, brother, sister, in His hand. The search for real joy is over. In His presence is joy. Near Him is joy. In the knowledge that He is present, there is joy. Oh, the joy that floods my soul. It echoes, all is well. Because I am His, and He is mine, there's joy." On that first Palm Sunday, the world, and even the most intimate followers of Jesus, had no idea what the week ahead looked like. They had no idea of the garden, the arrest, the trial, the cross. They had no idea of the week ahead. Sounds too familiar, doesn't it? On this Palm Sunday, we have no idea of the week ahead. But this I know. This I know. They were glad to see Jesus, and they needed Jesus more than they could ever imagine. Oh, church, hear me. On this day, you and I and our world needs Jesus more than ever. And He gives us not only Himself, He gives us joy. We're going to sing. I want our worship band to come. They're going to lead us. We're going to sing a great hymn to joy. I want you to listen to the words. If you know the words, I hope you will sing along on the screen. Joyful, joyful, we adore Thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before Thee, opening to the sun above. Listen, melt the clouds of sin and darkness. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness. Drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. Rejoice. Rejoice. Emmanuel, God with us. Rejoice. Your love has come here to dwell. Rejoice. Joyful. Joyful. We adore Thee. God with us. Rejoice.